The Safari Park.
You're killing me, Larry.
Hello, Larry.
Hats off to Larry.
Larry. Fucking Larry.
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 Larry, get into bed now.
You're on, Larry. Larry.
We just stuck another Labor Day in the dent file, didn't we? Another bizarre one it was, at least in California. Didn't see much smoke from backyard barbecues or cars clustered near homes. Didn't hear any music blasting either. This place is still in this strange netherworld, enshrouded in a fog of fear. My friends in Florida and Texas tell me it's life is normal back there. Must be nice. As holidays go, Labor Day was never a favorite. As a kid, it meant one thing. Summer vacation was over. Back to school. Only weirdos looked forward to that, or maybe kids who went to some cartoon or movie school that was not a dreary holding pen for little people, which mine was. As an adult working stiff, the 3-day weekend was a welcome break, but the name still sucked. Labor is a commie word. Depictions of it are invariably in that Soviet art style that makes you want to grab a minigun and start mowing Bolsheviks like a cane field. The drawings are always of a sweaty, sinewy arm holding a hammer. Not a claw or ball-peen hammer as you might have in your toolbox. No, it's some other kind of hammer, probably used to build gulags and hideous housing projects, preloaded with roaches, gloom, and despair. If not the arm and hammer, it's maybe two earnest young men, shoulder to shoulder, perspective from below as if you're seeing figureheads lashed together on the prow of a sailing ship. Oh, so heroic. You ever notice commies never laugh or smile? They either look angry or earnest. Earnest is the most dangerous facial expression. Those who wear it think it conveys a message of, I'm doing good. Or even worse, I'm changing the world. What that expression actually says is, I'm being an asshole. There's a very good movie about commies and how horrible they are. It's entitled Dr. Zhivago. Like most movies, it's a little too long, but it has some great moments and scenery and dialogue. It also has a very pointy chick star named Julie Christie, who had that smoldering appeal that made her riveting to watch. There's a scene where she's talking to a friend with benefits, an older, successful guy, a man of the world played by Rod Steiger. He is warning her to stay away from a younger suitor, a pukey, starry-eyed commie zealot. His character and appearance is really, it's a template for these assholes for over a century. He wears a stiff collar, paramilitary coat, just like Lenin, Stalin, and Mao. He wears a kind of a Greek fisherman-style peaked cap. That's a cliche for commies from Lenin to Pete Seeger to Bernie Sanders. He wears rimless round spectacles. He wears a face that's stretched tight as bongo skins, with a glare in his gaze of the self-satisfied ideologue above a lipless mouth, pursed into a permanent clenched frown of disapproval. That's because nothing, none of the glorious bounty of life may be enjoyed until he has achieved the utopia promised by his god, Karl Marx. And so Steiger grabs this young woman and he tells her the following. There are two kinds of men, and only two, and that young man is one kind. He is high-minded. He is pure. He is the kind of man that the world pretends to look up to and in fact despises. He is the kind of man who breeds unhappiness. Quite a terse summation of commies. They are usually horrible people, deeply unhappy people. They will abandon their women and children, rat-fuck their friends, steal and lie and cheat, and yet sleep well in the knowledge that they are part of A cause. It's always a global, unreachable cause. Climate justice, income justice, educational justice, housing justice, and all the other justices their overlords can dream up. Justice is the new suffix for all their bullshit causes. And it's a great choice. Because opposition to the cause automatically places you in the position of supporting injustice. Doesn't it? When will our side learn to seize and manipulate the vocabulary as well as commies do? They fuck everything else up, but they are really good at propaganda and being organized. Organization comes naturally to the hive mentality, partially because the hive and groupthink appeals to lower intellects. And large groups provide camouflage for evil pricks. In a smaller unit, say, a family, or poker friends, a club, a small business, pricks, well, they have nowhere to hide, and they'll soon be recognized and exposed and ousted. But in a big group, a community or a party or a movement, well, a dirtbag can remain cloaked, yet still feel he's part of something. He can convince himself and others that he has friends. The commie throws a few bucks at the cause, or attends a meeting, or carries a sign and protests, or sits cross-legged in a circle with other commies while chanting the slogan of the moment, and he feels validated and justified. He can look in the mirror as he adjusts his commie cap and feel like he's worthwhile. He's helping mankind. Whoops, personkind. Hey, how did I get here from Labor Day? Wow, well, I guess it's not all that big of a detour. My parents sometimes softened the blow of Labor Day and impending school by slating a little getaway just after Labor Day. Not being commies, they loathed crowds, and after Labor Day, the Jersey Shore, which was thronged all summer, was suddenly half deserted or more. There were no longer waits for restaurants or rides on the boardwalk attractions. Every hotel and motel had lots of vacancies and dropped their rates accordingly. The ocean was still plenty warm, the body surfing was great, and it felt like a private beach. A few times to make it work, Mom and Dad actually had my brother and I play hooky for a day or three. They knew the first few days of school were as unimportant as the last few. It's been a long time since I set foot in a classroom, but even now, when I see ads screaming, "Back to school," I want to scream,
"Go fuck yourself!"
Back then, you didn't see that crap stocked in supermarkets until the final weeks of August, and now it chokes the aisles from the 4th of July. Plenty of parents couldn't wait for school to start. They were gleeful about being liberated from the burden of their children. They were the same parents that sent their kids to summer camp. Not for a week or two, which might be cool, but the entire fucking summer. In New York City, you can understand the camp thing. Get the kid away from concrete and subways and police sirens and out into the woods and fresh air. Maybe he learns how to fish or build a fire, or paddle a canoe. My old man taught me that stuff. There was no way in hell he'd have let some stranger deprive him of that experience. I felt sorry for the camp kids. The ones that didn't do sleepaway camp went to day camp. I used to watch my friend down the street climb into a yellow school bus at 9:30 every morning. He never looked all that eager to go. When we'd tag up in the evening or on weekends, he never had any fun stories or adventures to speak of. One time I really pressed him to tell me what the hell day camp was like. He said it was like school, but outside with trees and a lake. By the time I had my kids, I was astonished when people would proudly announce they were vacationing without the kids. Oh, what a relief it would be. They'd gush. They could finally have fun. They'd say it with a joy you'd expect from someone who won a lottery or got good news about a biopsy, which indicates that commies are made, not born. So they seek out hives and groups and communities and causes because they were never really children to their parents, they were just accessories. But no group is ever going to love them like mom and dad did, or should have. On a visit to New York a few years ago, my wife and I were walking the neighborhood where we lived when we first met. The Upper West Side, very pricey real estate and rentals. I hated living there. It's a commie enclave. It was a brutally hot and sticky August afternoon. We turned a corner at a luxury high-rise and saw something you just do not see on New York streets. A kid behind a cardboard lemonade stand. You see lemonade stands in the suburbs and the sticks, but not in the concrete canyons of Manhattan. The kid was maybe 5, 6 years old. Beside him stood an adult woman dressed as a maid. It was like a Halloween costume. The black dress, white lace collar, and white apron. For a minute, I wondered if it was some hidden camera setup for a TV show. We stopped and talked with him. It was a legit lemonade stand. The kid had been working it for a couple of hours and had a few bucks and coins in a metal box, and he lived in that fancy condo. Where were his parents? He told us they were spending the weekend at their beach home in the Hamptons. The maid silently and sadly nodded, confirming the kid's statement. Why do some people have kids? My parents would never have considered vacationing without my brother and me. And those Labor Day getaways delivered good times by the truckload. When we were playing hooky from school, that gave me endless delight. There I was on the Jersey Shore, body surfing in the wild Atlantic, riding roller coasters and crashing bumper cars on the boardwalk, eating coconut patties, staying up late while my classmates were stuck back in Queens, raising their hands to ask a Nazi nun permission to take a leak, doing mountains of meaningless homework, and so on. Then there was the seasonal bonus of those late summer vacations. Traces of autumn were starting to show. Some leaves were turning orange. Cornfields were cut. The sunsets were different and better than midsummer ones, much more colorful. Sometimes the old man would drive inland a ways to check out a restaurant, and already you'd get the magnificent scent of burning autumn leaves. Though I despise winter, I love autumn. Even more than summer, not sure why. Maybe it's the interstitial nature of it. It spans two seasons, offers the best of both. You can still enjoy the sun and surf for a lot of it. Back east, the big lunker bluefish don't appear until September. Even the mosquitoes tend to vanish with the crowds and the noise. If you want an evening chill, crisper air, you can get that without frostbite or chains on your tires. There's a riot of color. Summer is great, but green is all you get. Winter's gray wasteland of strip trees, that's a downer. You can keep that. Keep the snow, too. It's just a white, cold shroud. I've not cracked the mailbag in some time, and there's a very timely message all about back to school, but with a sick new twist. Here's what it says. Hey Larry, though I'm not a Patreon, I hope you'll answer me. I'll soon begin my senior year of college. They have a vaccine mandate, and I don't want to take it. I'm not an anti-vaxxer, but I had COVID last May. I recovered after about a week. Why should I take a vaccine when I have natural immunity? My school refuses to acknowledge natural immunity and makes no provision for exemptions. I'd walk away, but my major is uncommon, and if I finished out at another school, many of my credits won't transfer and it would take me 2 more years. Not only can I not afford that, my parents won't pay for it. They're both vaxxed and hot for boosters. The last thing my old man said to me before I wrote this was, why don't you move in with your buddy, Joe Rogan? I'm super pissed and feel powerless. Any ideas? Thanks, Ethan. Wow. You know what, Ethan? I'm pissed too. You are facing the mindless monolith that is bureaucracy. It's what made the Soviet Union, East Germany, and now China living hells. Now in America, government, education, and corporations have closed ranks and are singing the same sick song. The controversy has boiled down to two core issues. Their refusal to acknowledge natural immunity, which offers far better protection than their pseudo-vaccines, and the stone fact that the vaccinated are now spreading the virus just as fast and far as the unvaccinated. If you state those facts to your adversaries, this is the answer you will get. The only remaining valid claim they can make is that vaccinated persons may have less severe symptoms than the unvaccinated. That's it. Yet they still behave as if the vaccines are the magic bullet they said they would be when they were first introduced, and they demand you take them or else. It's fucking Kafkaesque. There's more at play here than public health, a lot more. But the entire narrative is crumbling. If the vaccine did everything they promised at the beginning, rendered people immune from infection or transmission, well, that would be wonderful. But it isn't. And nobody is saying, oops, are they? No one is walking anything back. They double down. But some people are saying, hey, wait a minute. You want me to vax, but I still need a mask? And I can still catch the virus and spread it? And now you want boosters? What? How many? For how many variants? It's a house of cards, and it is collapsing. Both Pfizer and Merck are feverishly working on therapeutic drugs as news of vaccine diminished efficacy and durability gets out. And even if those new drugs are basically rebranded hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin, people will gobble them up if they have a new name and the imprimatur of Pfizer and Merck, which is good for you, Ethan. At some point, the bureaucracies are going to have to back off these mandates and accept the fact that therapeutics are also a viable solution. Very often the guy that wins the fight doesn't do it with a knockout punch. He just manages to hang in there a little longer than his opponent. So whether or not your school has exemptions, write them a letter requesting one. Get it on record. Send it to whatever chooch is the gatekeeper and copy the fucking dean. Maybe you have a pal who's just starting his law career. Ask if he'd like to get involved and put his name and title of attorney at law on that communique. Even massive institutions don't like lawsuits. They might just quietly make an accommodation for you when they realize you're serious and building a case. Otherwise, stall, stall, and stall some more. If you can wait it out, you just may see these goddamn mandates go away. And then you'll have your win. I wish you luck, Ethan. As well as the millions of others being bullied and coerced around the world. These are criminal acts perpetrated by criminals. Hey, thanks for hanging with me once again. It's always great to be with you. If you like what you just heard, visit the show page at thatlarryshow.com. There you will find hundreds more episodes. And if you really like what you heard, while you're there, click the Patreon or PayPal buttons and join the dojo. That helps me keep the show going. There you'll also find the fellowship of others who love America and hate commies. Follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and No Agenda Social. There are links for those also on the show page. If you want to write, it's thatlarryshow@gmail.com. My friends, we live in the most perilous times. The assault on truth and freedom comes from every direction, and it is relentless. Stay strong. Keep the faith. I'll see you next Wednesday, or thereabouts, and until that time, take no shit.